Hello and welcome along to another of our nursing home broadcasts from Newton Abbey Free Presbyterian Church. We're going to commence this month's programme by singing the words of the hymn, Would You Be Free from Your Burden of Sin, and the words will be on the screen for you to sing along. Going to bring our meeting to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Our dear Lord and loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, once again that we have the means, Lord, to bring ourselves into the nursing home, Lord, in this fashion, Lord, and bring Thy Word. And just pray, Lord, that as the singing of the hymns take place, Lord, and the reading of Thy Word, and most importantly the preaching, Lord, we just pray that You would bless it as it goes into these homes, Lord. Bless the residents as they listen, Lord. We just pray that even souls would be saved, Lord. And even in these difficult times, Lord, we just pray that You would continue to keep Your hand upon us, Lord. Keep us safe, Lord. And may once again we be in the homes in person very soon, Lord. We just pray all these things in Thy precious name. Amen. We're now going to have some special singing by James Gailey, and then Kareth McClung is going to come and read the scriptures to us.
Thank you. In Psalm 37, verses 1 to 11. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord, and do good, and so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, and those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight thyself in the abundance of peace.
We do appreciate Philip leading the meeting for this broadcast, and also Kareth for reading the scriptures to us. And we're turning to that psalm that was read, a portion of it was read to us. And in those verses that were read, there are some instructions that we are given. And I just want to draw your attention to some of these and to consider them for a few moments as we spend a little time around the Word of God. Because there are five that are here. And there's a series. One follows on from the other. One really builds upon the other here. And it starts off with verse 3, and it says, trust in the Lord. And you see, that is the very place where you and I must begin with the Lord. We have to begin by trusting in the Lord. We are commanded to believe on him. We're commanded to trust in him. Not to trust in ourselves, not to trust in others, not to trust in a church, not to trust in a creed even, but to come to trust in Jesus Christ. Remember those words in John 14, verse 1? Ye believe in God, believe also in me. That's what the Lord Jesus said. And there's many people today who say, oh, I believe in God. But then the question needs to be asked, well, that's very good, but do you believe in Jesus Christ? Have you come to trust in him as your Savior? Do you believe his claims? Do you believe what he said? Do we believe what he has come to do in this world, when he came into this world to be the Savior? Do we believe that? So the very starting place for us all is that we need to trust in him. Trust in him in the sense of coming to know him. Let's illustrate it this way. There's that incident in the New Testament where Paul and Silas were in prison, and they were singing praises to God, and there was an earthquake, and it really spoke to the jailer. And he thought all the prisoners were escaped because the earthquake had damaged the prison and had opened it up, and he thought everybody was going to escape. But there's a wonderful miracle took place because every prisoner was stayed in their place. And the jailer was struck by this. This was unusual. And he realized that the Lord was speaking to him. And he came in to Paul and Silas, and he said to Paul and Silas, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And their answer was, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." And there's our starting point as well tonight, is that we trust on the Lord. We trust on him. Just as it is we're instructed here in this psalm to do. We're to trust in the Lord. And I wonder, have you ever trusted in him? Oh, you've heard of him. You've heard about him. Maybe you've sung hymns in the past and brought up in Sabbath school, or maybe went to children's meetings as well, and you've been schooled in the gospel in that sense. But I wonder, have you ever trusted in the Lord Jesus? Look to him for salvation. Because men and women, that's a starting point for us all. Doesn't matter who we are. Doesn't matter what background we're from. Doesn't matter how long we've been in the world or how short our time is in the world. Whether adults, children, adolescents, young people. It doesn't matter what age we are. The starting point with every single one of us is that we need to trust in the Lord. And it's never too late to trust in him. No, not at all. If the Lord is speaking and challenging you even today, it's never too late to trust in the Lord. The Lord has saved people on their very deathbed. Think of that thief on the cross when he said to the Saviour, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." There's a man who trusted in the Lord right at his very deathbed. The dying gasps that man was breathing, he used to cry out to the Saviour hanging beside him, that the Lord would remember him when he came into his kingdom. So it's never too late to trust in the Lord. It's better, even though it might be late, it's better than never at all. Better than never at all. Sadly, there's some who'll never come. Don't want to come, no interest in coming. And how sad that is, because there's an awful end. But even though you might have heard, and heard many a year ago, your need of Christ, and you've never come, never trusted, then you can still do that this very hour. And I trust that you will. And then the next thing we're told is to delight ourselves in the Lord. That's the next thing we're to do. You see, if we come to trust him, then we're going to delight in him. We've found something in him that we need and want. We've found salvation in him. That's why we're trusting in him. We've found him to be the Saviour. We've found forgiveness of sins. And there's no greater blessing in all the world than knowing that. To have peace with God. To know that it's well with our soul. We can delight ourselves in the Lord. That he's such a wonderful Saviour. That this is what he does. He does as he promises. He will save us. He will forgive us. He will take us home one day to be with him in heaven. Oh, we have every reason to delight in him. To be glad in the Lord. And the Bible speaks about a joy that there is. A joy unspeakable is how the Bible describes it. You could hardly put it into words. You couldn't put it into words properly. You couldn't do it justice. Such is the wonderful salvation that there is found in Jesus Christ. And I wonder, do you delight in the Lord? Do you love him? Do you rejoice in him? Are you glad that he is the Saviour? Are you glad that you're able to say, "He's my Saviour, and my sins are forgiven"? Oh, that's a wonderful blessing. And I trust that you are able to say that. And if you're not able to say it, well then, surely there's the need to come to trust in him right this very moment and find that delight in your own soul. That your soul will be filled with gladness and the knowledge that it's well with your soul. It's well with your soul. There was that hymn that was written by a man, Horatio Spafford. And when he said, it is well with my soul." And he wrote that after some tragedy in his own life. Great tragedy in his own life. He lost 4 daughters in a shipping accident on the Atlantic. And his wife had gone ahead. They lived in Chicago in America, and his wife and daughters had come over to Europe on a holiday, and he had some business to do, and they had gone on ahead, and the boat that they were on collided with another one in the mid-Atlantic, and their four daughters were lost, drowned in the waters of the Atlantic. And his wife got to Ireland, and she sent back a telegram and told her husband what had happened, and to come immediately. And across the Atlantic, as he was making his way over — there wasn't airplanes in those days — but as he was making his way over the Atlantic and he reached the very spot where the collision had occurred, he wrote those words: "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." And I wonder today, can you say that? It is well with my soul. Oh, I trust that you will indeed be able to say such a thing. So you trust in the Lord and you delight in the Lord. And then it says, commit thy way unto the Lord. You see, if our sins are forgiven, we can commit our way to the Lord. We can have one to lead us and guide us all through life and through death itself and out into eternity, into that never-ending eternity. How great it is to have the Lord as our guide. I'm sure we're familiar with the words of that well-known psalm: "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And the psalmist could go on to say, "He leadeth me beside the still waters." And the Lord leads. When we commit our way to Him, He leads us. He'll lead us the whole way home to heaven. He'll lead us all through this world, through all the ups and downs. Doesn't promise us an easy life, not at all. We have to endure the ups and downs of this life. But there's one who leads us through it all. There's one who knows the way to take. And when we come to die, He will lead us. He will lead us through death. He will lead us into heaven if we commit our way unto Him. And again, what comfort there is in that. Isn't that what the psalmist said? "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And if the Lord is leading us, what do we want? There's no need of anything if we have Him as our shepherd. And He is the good shepherd, as we're told in John's Gospel, chapter 10. The good shepherd. He loves the sheep. He gave His life for the sheep. He leads the sheep. And He will lead us in the very best way and bring us home to glory. And I trust that you know that, what it is to have the Lord as your guide. And then we go on to the fourth one, which is found there in Psalm 37 and verse 7. Rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. You see, the Lord's going to keep us. Not only is He going to lead us, He's going to keep us. He's going to watch over us. We can rest in His love, the Bible tells us. Those everlasting arms that are all around us. Oh, how good it is to rest upon those everlasting arms, to trust in Him for all that comes to pass, to depend on Him, just to rest sweetly, knowing that the Lord is in control of all things. And He will overrule and undertake for us. As I say, He doesn't promise us an easy life. He doesn't promise that there'll be the absence of trials and trouble. Sometimes people think that, oh, if I come to Christ, it'll be an easy life. It won't. The Lord never promised that. But what He has promised is that He will be with us, and that we can rest on Him. We can depend on Him. You can depend upon the Lord. He'll never fail. He'll never fail us. It's impossible for the Lord to fail us. He's the omnipotent God. He's all-powerful. No one can hinder Him or frustrate His purposes or His ways. And therefore we can depend upon Him for everything that comes to pass. And therefore we can rest content. There can be satisfaction in our heart. And there's many people troubled in life, troubled with many things. And they can't find peace at all. My friend, there's peace in Jesus Christ. Perfect peace. We read of that in Isaiah 26. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee." And may we indeed rest in the Lord and know perfect peace. That certainly is the portion of those who are saved. And if you're a child of God today, then you can look to the Lord for that perfect peace. And if you're not, well, then come to know Him today and find that perfect peace. The last one that is found here in this portion as well is that we are told to wait upon Him. Wait upon Him. What are we waiting for? Well, we're waiting for his coming. We're waiting for his coming. He tells us he's coming. We don't know exactly when, but we know he's coming. And we believe the promise that he is indeed going to come again. And we're going to wait for that. We're going to wait for that. Whether we see it in our day or whether we leave this world and another generation sees it, nevertheless, we'll wait patiently on him. We'll wait for him. And what a day that will be when he comes. Day of vindication for all who have trusted in him. For oftentimes people today laugh and mock at the Christian, think they're foolish, believing in Jesus Christ, thinking about heaven. But oh, there's a coming a day when he's going to vindicate all those who have trusted in him. It's going to be seen that they were wise, that they weren't foolish, they weren't silly. And that's how many people look upon the Christian today. How silly being a Christian. My friend, it's not silly. It's not silly in the slightest. It's the wisest conduct that you could ever engage in. Because there's coming a day when Christ is going to come just the same way as he came the first time. He says, I'm coming again the second time. And when he comes, he's going to vindicate his people. So we're going to wait on that day and look forward to it. And what a glorious day that will be when he comes. And he makes up his own. He gathers all his own together. And he takes them. And the Bible says he's going to present them to his Father in heaven. And say, this is my people. These are all those who have believed on me. And I have looked after them and kept them. And led them through life and brought them home to glory. I wonder, will you be one of that number? Will you be found among them? Oh, I trust you will. I trust you will. So do remember those commands here that are given in this psalm. We are to trust in the Lord, delight in the Lord, commit our way unto the Lord, rest in the Lord, and then wait upon the Lord. And I trust that the Lord will bless his word to all of our hearts today. And if you don't know him as your Savior, come to him today and seek him. He invites you to come. Come and trust him. Come and trust him. I trust the Lord will bless his word.
Thank you.
We do appreciate all those who have taken part today in this program. I trust the Lord has blessed your heart and soul as you have listened. We're going to bow together in prayer and just commit our way to the Lord. Our Father, we thank Thee for Thy mercy and goodness. We thank Thee for the truth of God that has gone forth in song and in the preaching of Thy word. And we pray Thou will bless it to each one who has listened and speak to their heart and do them good. And we pray that they might indeed know what it is to rest and wait upon the Lord. Do undertake and meet everyone at the point of their need. We pray for all the residents and staff as well. Undertake for each one and family members too, Lord. Meet the need, we pray, and grant Thy blessing. So abide with us now, we ask. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.